for DTY Mobile.
So, how you doing, Daniel? KN4 BWA.
KQ4 BHY.
Well, Miner and Frog here. I managed to complete a little project today that I've been planning for about 4 months and finally got to do it. And it worked. It turned out just exactly the way I had hoped it would.
A heck of a project if you've been planning it for 3 months.
Well, I was 2500 diesel, but the diesel's gone bye-bye. I let it go. And, matter of fact, made a little bit of money and got a later model vehicle in the process. So, in the process, I bought myself a city service van, except this one is an XLT. It's got all the interior, 6-passenger seating, and all this good stuff. And I bought it so I could put my RC airplanes in it. And, man, let me tell you what. I built an aluminum frame to just kind of set in with the seats folded down with a little platform so I can put about 6 airplanes at a time.
Very cool. So is, I know the transit van you're talking about, but is that the short one where it's only like 6 foot tall?
No, it's not 6 foot tall inside. This thing, this is the little city van that, it's mainly for inner city stuff. And it's not like a 1500. It's smaller than a 1500.
I know what you're talking about now. Yeah. So my brother got a big transit truck. It has, like, you could go in it and actually stand up. So it's like 8 foot tall when you get inside of it. But this is KI4DQY. Go ahead, other stations.
I got to talking about my airplanes and my new vehicle, and I apologize for running off at the mouth. I hope that other station will pop back in there with us, and we'll carry on. But yeah, it's the camera, front and rear air conditioning. It's got 6-passenger seating, Bluetooth, XM stereo. It's got, it's got everything in a book on it.
Hey, I'm glad you got set up there. I know you were driving a pocketbook at all. But no, I think you'll probably enjoy that. And that probably, little transit is probably going to get what? 24 miles to the gallon?
24 in the city and 29 out on the road.
So my brother was driving Ford Expedition just like I am. His was a little older model, but he got that turbocharged, truck he's got, and he's getting better gas mileage with a bigger truck, hauling more stuff, so he's loving it. Of course, I don't think he's loving the car payments, but he's loving the new truck.
Yep. Well, listen, I got to jump off here for just about 5 minutes. I got to run in the bank and drop a little money into the bank so that when I use that little debit card, it don't go, confiscating. I'll be back out in about five minutes or so, so I hope you'll still be there. I'll give you a holler. KN4, BWA, y'all carry on.
All right, Steve, have a good one. 7-3s, and try to talk to you in a few. Have a good one.
Philosopher 4, Whiskey Tango, Quebec.
TY. Go ahead, sir. This is Daniel here.
This is the first time I've been on ham radio.
Did you just get your ticket?
My ticket about 3 months ago. It's but I worked up. I got my extra class 2 weeks. I got my I got another gear. I haven't got it set up with an antenna or nothing yet. I got a FT, I guess it is, 991.
991 as well. Can you give me, I was driving, can you give me your call sign and name one more time?
44WTQ. Greg Brett.
Well, congratulations. I'm a newish ham. I got my license last March, and then this past March, I got my general, so now I just finally received that, but I do have the 991, and I tell you why, I've been absolutely loving it. I just put up a centerline fed dipole, and I haven't actually made contact, but I've heard a couple stations so far on 80 and 40.
Thanks. Yeah, what I'm talking on now is an FT5D. Florida, but I'm up here to Greer, South Carolina. I hurt my back, and I'm at my daughter's house here going through physical therapy, and I had a shot the other day, and I'm trying to get it straightened out.
I hear that about your back, yep. My dad's actually had eight neck and back surgeries. He hasn't had good luck with it, but I'm actually over here located in Taylor, so you're probably not too far from me.
With this rig and only 5 watts.
We can hit the repeater pretty good, so that's not too bad. You have a little bit of some scratch and white noise in there, but you are definitely readable, so it's sounding good. What kind of antenna system are you using?
Appreciate it. Like I said, this is the first time I've been on the radio.
Welcome to the neighborhood and welcome to the hobby. Like I said, I'm a new ham operator about a year and a half now. I've been liking it. This 2 meter, this the 610 club is really nice. And there's a ton of nice people on this repeater. And I'm sure you're going to have a blast with it and really have some great connections. So definitely welcome to the neighborhood.
Okay, thank you.
And next destination, over here at Lowe's in Greer. I'll be back on in a few, and if you're still on here, we can have a little queue as I drive back home. But let me say 7-3s for a few, and I hope you have a great day if I don't talk to you again.
73.
AI-4-DTY, and I'll be clear.
Deal Oscar 4, Whiskey Tango, Quebec, clear.
The 7 Japan Mobile.
BWA Mobile.
Hey, how are you today, Bob?
Tired.
Man, I have been at it all week long. Matter of fact, the only good part of this week so far is I'm putting money in the bank down here on Pelham Road.
Job this week. It's like a 2-day job, but I'm kind of stretching it out to probably 3. But it's good money, so I took it.
Material, what do you charge to lay ceramic tile?
Steve, it's really dependent upon the job and stuff, but it's usually about $400 a day plus materials, give or take. I mean, that's a rough estimate, but about that. And I'll look and see, you know, if it's an average-sized bathroom, I can usually do it in 2 to 3 days. So I'll usually charge like $1,200, and if I get it done in 2, I've made more money, and if it takes me 3, I'm still at my $400 a day.
What I've got is a kitchen that is going to be about
the area is going to be about 10 by 12 on the floor, and it's just a rectangle, and along with a hallway about 3.5 by 14.
For now?
We'll be there when you get ready to come to do it, if we get together, is nothing but a Veritech. Are you familiar with that stuff?
Negative.
Tech or a Vantech? It's going to be just nothing but the subfloor.
Subfloor, then that would have been fine. So it's just, I'm guessing, a wooden particle board or plywood subfloor.
But you know what? If I'm going to put a mortar base down and do something of that nature, I'd probably want to go ahead and put a quarter laminate underneath it just to protect the subfloor, wouldn't it?
It's called hardy, and you put the hardy backer down first. It's like cement board, and it's a quarter inch thick. Well, they make it two thicknesses, but you get the quarter inch thick, and it gets screwed down, and the screws are countersunk, so it's all on that. So you're probably looking at, because there's no demo here, probably 2 days and another day to grout it.
So for something like that, what are we looking at? 4, 8, 12, what?
Well, let's see, a day to do hardy backer, tile, 2 days, grout, probably between $1,600 and $1,800 labor.
And what if the floor is all and ready to go, and you just walk in and start putting tile down?
Subtract 400
then, right?
Between 12 and 1300, I'd really have to look at it. I have to see what your tile is. You know, there's some other things that get into it as far as time, but I realistically think if you got it all ready to go, 2 days to put tile down and 1 day to grout it, so you're probably looking at about $1,200, $1,300, something like that.
All right. Now, let me get your recommendation for something. We want to put something in that kitchen that's very resilient, especially to two old geezers that are going to drop pans on it, drop, you know, all kinds of stuff on it, and spill on it. What would you put in? Ceramic tile? Or I know you wouldn't put in porcelain tile. What would you put in?
I would, if I wasn't going to do tile, I would probably lean towards vinyl laminate, some kind of a laminate. There's a lot of it out there that's really good stuff. They advertise a lot of this stuff as being waterproof. And Steve, I got to pull over here for a second. I got a tarp that's going to fly out, but just hang on a minute. At a laminate, you know, the laminate flooring has come a long ways. But they make some that's very good and very water resistant. In other words, if you spill a pot of water on it and keep it up, you're good to go. But if you spring a leak while you're on vacation, you're going to have a problem.
I've had bad experience with some of the laminates in the past. And you're talking about the lock-in-place stuff, right?
Give me a second. I'll be right back.
Yeah. Go do what you need to do.
Steve, can you find the bill up?
There.
This is Leroy.
How are you doing this afternoon, Leroy? Everything percolating along in a little bit less heat?
And I didn't miss any. I didn't get any of that last transmission.
Yeah, we got Leroy in there with us. He popped in. So, anyhow, yeah, I was just saying, I've had a bad experience with some of that laminate, and I'd kind of like to stay away from that. Generally, every time I've used that stuff, it's good for about 8 to 10 years, and that's it. I'd really like to put something in that's going to last, you know, 15, you know, so that I don't ever have to fool with it again, because I'm not going to last 15 or 20 years.
You're very well, Steve. I don't know. You must be moving around, or I know I'm moving around.
Well, hey, I'll give you a call on the line, and we'll kind of hack this out. So, you still in there, Leroy? How you doing?
I'm doing good. I just got off work for the day, and just checking out this radio we installed on Saturday night, Sunday morning.
What'd you put in?
I put in a Icon 2370 in the pickup.
Definitely making the trip. It's good and clear. No background hiss. No noises. Give me 5 seconds of dead key. Oh, yeah. Sounds great, man. Full quieting. It sounds like you got your mic gain set pretty close, too. Sounds good.
Okay, I appreciate it. I'm just pulling into the polling place to go do that voter thing, so I'll let you go, and we'll say 7-3 for now.
Heard on the voting. I just can't stand people standing around pulling the drone about the way things are, but yet they don't go vote to make it better.
Yeah. I'll let you go, Steve. You all take care, and we'll say 7-3 for now. KFIWLO clear.
Roy, pop in anytime. 73 to KN4 VWA. I'll be monitoring. And I'll hit you in a week or two there, Bob. I'm clear.
W4DJW, 33% chance of rain tomorrow.
Now, is that all day? Because it seems like I looked and there was a chance of better than 51% chance of rain at around 9 a.m. and later on in the early afternoon. Did it say what the winds are going to be like?
It looks like about 5 miles an hour all the way up until 4 p.m. and then it jumps to 6.
Fine. Want to try to go tomorrow afternoon? Well, no, it's going to start blowing tomorrow afternoon. But still, 6 is not bad, is it?
See how the rain does. If it may rain. But I was looking at it this morning. It wasn't very windy out there, but it looked like it was going to rain. Turned out it didn't rain. So it would have been great to fly.
I think I stepped on you.
ND7J Mobile. Steve, if you want to give me a call tomorrow or something on that, I can talk to you better about it without talking business on.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. I'll probably be Thursday or Friday before I get a chance to call you, bud. I got some stuff going tomorrow, and we'll get around to that. I haven't even picked out a product yet to put down, so, and that's the next big decision. So, we will get to that. So, well, what do you say, Dave? You think we want to try to get to it? Say around, well, I don't know, sometime tomorrow?
W4DJW, I think it's worth keeping an eye on it tomorrow.
Winner to me. The only thing I have to do tomorrow is I've got to take a piece of equipment. It's my test gear, and my test gear has to be certified by a lab before I can use it here in the state of South Carolina. And my certification is running out, and I got to get it sent off to get it recertified. So that's the only thing I got to do, and I'll probably take care of that by about 9:30 or 10 o'clock. So from about 10 o'clock on, I'm your man. What was that in the movie Tombstone? I'll be your Huckleberry.
Huckleberry. You know what a Huckleberry is?
Saying Huckleberry. What is a Huckleberry?
So back in those days, back in the gunslinger days of the Wild Wild West, they used to put huckles on the side of a coffin. And when you grab a huckle and you pick up a coffin along with 5 other guys, you're a hucklebearer. So Doc Holliday was telling him he would be his hucklebearer because he knew what was coming.
In other words, he'd be honored to carry him on to the year on after.
That's affirmative. That was good. That was a good movie, wasn't it? I double with you. Go again.
Then I'm going to have to go back and watch that again because I swear Val Kilmer said Huckleberry.
No, he said Huckleberry.
Still such a good movie. I'm going to go back and watch it again. Like I said, I'm your man.
Okay. That sounds good. I'll keep an eye out for it, too. I'll break away from programming for a little bit to get a flight or two in.
Up for air occasionally, especially have a little fun. I've got to put... You want to know how busy I've been? I haven't had a chance to put that new server into my mall yet. So I got to get that... Give me some advice. I bought a whole group of those steel... would you put one in, or would you put both in the aileron so that they kind of match up?
You blanked out there for a minute. Did you say Metal Gear servos?
Yes, sir. I'm getting away from that bunch of junk from Horizon. I bumped an aileron, and not even enough to make a mark in the foam, and it popped the teeth in the gears on the stupid servo. So I've got to replace one servo on an aileron. So would you replace one, or would you replace...
Well, if you replace one, you're liable to get differential ailerons, and you don't want that in one direction and not in the other. So, yeah, if you're going to do one, you may as well do both of them so that you don't get unexpected differential.
Thinking about, well, looks like I got two ailerons to replace this evening. Shouldn't be too bad. Shouldn't take too long. And, those are standard length leads on those ailerons. And I know I've got one extender. I don't know if I've got a second extender so that it'll go reach into the fuselage or not. That'll be the only question there. All right. Well, I've got my activities cut out for me for this evening. So hopefully I'll be able to get that mall out. I'll have the Bloody Wonder, and I'll have the Bixler. And... who knows? I might even get that Radian out. Get that thing out. Give it a shot. So, I will give that a good try, the best I can. See what happens. So, but it's going to be a nice test to test this out. I'm not even going to take it out. I had to run down to the bank and put some, even taking my platform out. I'm so proud of it that I'm sitting here looking at it as I ride down the road, and it makes... no sound. It doesn't bump, rattle, thump, anything.
Oh, that's good. That's the way it ought to be. I haven't seen your Bixler fly since you changed the motor out.
If you set yours at half throttle, you better be watching your rudder, because I'm going to be on you. That thing is that much quicker.
But you can pull the throttle back and still get a half-hour flight?
No question.
That's what we need to focus on tomorrow. Some formation, some disciplined flying for about a half hour.
And I need to order some of those daisy chains so that I can start reading my battery level in flight. And I need to start upping my game some. So, anyhow, yeah, I need to check and see what this new motor's doing as far as battery usage. But I have to land and see what it's doing. So we'll take it up for about 18 minutes, maybe 30 minutes, try to bring it back down and see what it does.
Oh, so you never got a handful of those things yet? I probably need another handful. I think I've only got one left that I use for checking batteries on the ground with.
Yeah, that's right. I've still got a few of those. I could put one of those in there, and it's going to start chiming and going off. And I should be able to hear it beeping in the air, as quiet as that thing is. Yeah, that's a good idea.
But you do need to go out there and order you some of those that send that telemetry back down to your radio so that your radio knows exactly where you are with the push of a button.
Plan, sir. And in some cases,
that's the evil plan.
See if Leroy's back. I was wanting to talk to Leroy while he was there. KA5WLL, Leroy, you back yet?
Leroy encountered a line at the voting location.
All right, well, I'll just keep an eye out for him when he gets back.
What if Daniel's still in there? I meant to call Daniel. popped in there with Bob. Get there. Let's see, what is he? KD4DYT?
Not my call sign yet, Steve. It is KI4DTY, but yep, I'm here.
Hey, Dave, that brought him out of the woodwork.
Hello, Daniel, you doing good?
I just left Lowe's. I was picking up some conduit to see if I could raise up my 2-meter antenna a little bit.
What did you guys think about the Simplex last night? I talked to Chad this morning, and he made a comment to me. He says, looks like you and Dave and Daniel and Gary are at the top of the heap.
I thought that was a lot of fun. I enjoy that every time we do it.
Who we can hear and who we cannot hear, but yeah, Dave's like the clearest for me, and then it goes Gary, and then you, Steve.
Well, what thoroughly amazed me is last night, I guess conditions, propagation gods were just smiling on me and Ed, but Ed and I carried on. After the program, we finished up, and he's in Brevard.
Yeah, have you done a cross section between your house and his? It seems like there ought to be a mountain somewhere in between there.
It's a mountain ridge. I mean, it's a wall of mountains up on that first fracture line. It's a complete line that runs back into the parkway down into Georgia. So, yeah, man. Like I said, I don't know how we were doing it, but he and I were able to just carry on a conversation. It was great. Could you not hear him, Dave?
No, I could hear a one-sided conversation with you and him. His call is WDARON. I'm going to do a cross-section between you two and see what's between you. I think you're up kind of high, and there might be, a jagged edge of a missing mountain there or something. But I'll do a cross-section and send it to you.
Steve, I'm raising this 2-meter antenna Omni up about 8 feet. I think I'm at about 5 feet off my chimney now. Do you think that's really going to make a difference?
I think every foot you can go higher is worth it. Altitude, nothing like altitude.
Hey, throw money at it if it's not going to do anything, but I thought it was maybe worth a try getting it up a little higher here.
Go ahead and get yourself a new place up at Cliffs of Glassy.
Debit card of yours?
Every time I try to use that thing, it goes, bleh, bleh, confiscate him.
Before they put some credit card paper shredders in those things.
Well, some of the stuff they're coming up with these days is pretty smooth.
And it's all automated now. They had absolutely no...
That's the goal, is to have people sit there and run all day and take the human factor out of it.
I'm talking to people and getting to know people at places where I visit all the time, and Lowe's is definitely one of the places I visit 3 times a week.
Do they get too much of my money also?
Also much conversation with a little computer chick out there and complain about gas prices to it.
Be real hard every time I come in there because I threaten those machines with a 2-pound ball peen hammer.
Go ahead, Dave. I wasn't trying to cut you out.
That was good timing, Daniel, because I just finished the elevation profile between Ed and Steve's house. So starting out at Ed's house, he's at 2,243 feet high. And then when you go out a quarter of a mile, it goes up to 3,2300 feet. And it stays there all the way out to 11.8 miles. It stays that high. So he's behind a chain of mountains, And then it drops off right there all the way down to 1,200 feet, which is where Steve is, 26 or 36 miles away. So there is no reason you should be able to talk to him on Simplex, Steve.
I don't know how to explain it, but listen, I had him pulling him in on my meter, my signal meter. It starts at zero and goes to seven as a full signal. And last night with the squelch off, a solid one on the bar. And it would wink on and off as the floor would, you know, rise and get less. And he was running probably a 1.5 to a 2 because it was on more than it was off. I mean, he was coming in perfectly readable. And not a whole lot of background static, but he had some, I'd say 20% compared to some other signals. And he was just solid. But I'm going to tell you what, I can't explain it, but it was good.
Well, take a look at that. I just sent it to you. Take a look at it, and you'll see you must be bouncing off of something to talk to him, because there's no line of sight between you and him.
So that there is some curvature to line of sight, you know, 2 meter, over the horizon type work that you can do. But I was thinking that those distances were much more than 36 miles.
No, that's it. And we got Andrew in on EchoLink, by the way. If you want to leave a little pause in there, maybe he'll jump in there. W4DJW.
4DJY. I'm going to step out, guys. 7-3, I'm going to go try to put this antenna up. Go ahead, Andrew.
How's everybody doing this evening? KO4CEF.
Hey, Andrew. I'm doing good. I'm going to send Steve a text message. So you guys carry on while I go grab the email and turn it into a text. W4DJW.
Hey, Steve, you still there? KO4CEF.
A bad habit. I'm always hanging around.
Simplex last night.
Transmission again, and give it a pause before you start talking.
How did the Simplex net go last night?
Great. I enjoyed it. That's what Dave and I were just talking about. Ed is 36 miles away from me in Brevard, North Carolina, and there's a mountain chain between us. We were just talking about how, you know, I could talk to him last night, and I mean, he was clear as a bell, even though he was that far away, and we were on Simplex, and it worked. It was great.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd be curious to find out, because I know me and Patrick have tried it before, and there's several mountain ranges in between. But I would definitely be curious. I wonder, is it possible? I'm trying to think what the word is. The not scatter, but whatever it is you normally get on 2 meters. I can't think of it right now. My brain just is not processing it. I wonder if it could have been due to something like that.
Skip.
Well, you know, hams don't call it skip. That's CB terms right there. It's ES something. I can't remember. I'd figure it out if I wasn't on the road. But, yeah, it's basically the same thing.
Generally, atmospheric reflection, commonly referred to as skip, is on a... if I remember right from the general class, it's on a 2,500-mile bounce. And I think we're just too close for that. You know, 36 miles is not that far. But if I remember in my training, there is over-the-horizon line-of-sight transmission. And the horizon being 12 to 14 miles... And with my elevation and his elevation, that sounds about right. So I'm thinking that might be what that was going on. But it worked great.
mean, it definitely sounds plausible, although it's probably got mountain ranges in between you, you know, 2,000 feet at least. I don't know. It's hard. I'd be curious what actually happened. And you're probably right. You're probably too close for, you know, kind of a 2-meter skip, if you want to call it that. But yeah, I don't know. It's very interesting.
Dave, are you still in there? What do you think of our theories?
Well, I sent the this picture to you of the elevation profile. I don't know. You got to be bouncing off of some other mountain. So you're going around, not by bending, because electromagnetic waves don't bend, but they do bounce. So you're hitting some mountains as you're going through there, and you're bouncing back and forth. There's a lot of iron in those mountains. So you're bouncing around, and your signal's getting to him. But because you're high enough to do that, it's not just bouncing and going up and being a cloud burner. VHF and UHF and experimental that's on higher than that, they're all referred to as cloud burner frequencies. They don't bounce off the ionosphere. There's no skip. They burn right through the clouds, right through the ionosphere, and they're gone. And that's why you use them to do moon bounce, because they're not going to hit the ionosphere and come back down to the Earth. They're going to burn right through it. They're dubbed cloud burners. So you won't. It's not coming off the ionosphere. You're hitting some dirt somewhere, and it's reflecting around in there, and somehow it's getting to his antenna. W4DJW.
My general class stuff, but look at that, and especially on the technician level, and look at what they were talking about over the horizon for 2-meter transmission, and see what they said that made it possible, because I can't remember. I'm a geezer.
I believe I would have to be on the in agreement with Dave. I mean, you've got to be bouncing off something. Like you said, if you were to get some type of, you know, when 2 meters is open, where you get long distances out of it, it's going to be a lot longer range. So I don't know. It would have to be, because the mountain ranges in between you would negate any over the horizon signal, because means you physically cannot get your signal to go over the horizon because the mountain ranges would be in the way. I don't know. That's really neat. Really neat. I'd like to understand that more.
Well, and see, that's why it has to be some sort of over the horizon, because we are listening. And we also have 1,000 or more feet of mountain range between us. So, and there's no gaps in the mountains there. What I saw, Dave, is there a pass or a gap in the mountain there?
Let me see if I got it. That's a slice through the Earth between two points. Okay? If you look at that slice through the Earth, you know, 10 degrees off from either station, it's going to be a totally different picture. So there may be some places where you can go, change your angle by 10 degrees, and you can make it past one mountain, and it's going to hit the side of another mountain behind that. And then it's going to bounce off of that, and it's going to go 30 degrees back in the other direction, and then it's going to hit another mountain, and it's going to bounce again, and, you know, maybe at 45 degrees, and hit another mountain, and then it's going to, you know, take off at 45 degrees from that mountain and hit his station. So it's going to zigzag its way, that signal, that bouncing off of iron-clad mountains as it's going, and find a path through there. Like you would fly an airplane, not through that straight line that I gave you that is a picture of a slice of the Earth on a straight line. Not that straight line. It would be a zigzag course on either side of that line. Does that make more sense, Steve?
When I hear that, I just think about the signal loss and signal drop every time, or each on each reflection. You know what I mean? I mean, he would have to be down to virtually nothing after about four bounces.
Well, you heard him. He wasn't, and it's getting there, and it is getting there. And you know, VHF is a cloud burner. So you put the pieces together, figure it out. That's all I can figure, is you're bouncing off of mountains until you get. Same thing Patrick does. When we talk to Patrick, Patrick's got that much dirt between him and us. And you can talk to him on the between him and the repeater, he's got that much dirt. And you can talk to him plain as day on the repeater. So he's on the opposite side of the hill, hitting the opposite side of the valley, another mountain on the opposite side of the valley, and then coming back to the repeater. That's just the way it works. It's like a light. It's like a flashlight, right? And yeah, you're right. It degrades every time it bounces, but enough of it's getting through to where you can carry on a conversation.
Yep. Well, it's a mystery. Now I'm going to have to go back and study a little bit. So anyhow, I have arrived at my hacienda, and Andrew, I don't know exactly what our exact schedule is going to be, but Dave, do you think there is a possibility we could go later in the afternoon and include our new flyer there? By the way, Dave, did you get the email? Winged Master there, that he is now cut loose to fly on his own?
No, I did not get that, Andrew. You've been written off?
Yeah, Larry signed me off, I think it was Friday. Yeah, Friday after work. We were finally able to get together and not have 20-mile-an-hour winds, and so he took me through my paces and, you know, and did all that and took his plane up, and I was flying with my own controller and everything. So yeah, he finally signed me off. I finally got through it. I went a few days ago and flew on my own. I think it was Sunday. Man, I was a nervous wreck the entire time.
It's worth every minute of it, wasn't it?
Well, congratulations. I'm glad. And that's what makes it worth it, is that nervousness that you have. That's adrenaline flowing through. That lets you know you're alive. That's why you fly. Congratulations, W4DJW.
Yeah, it was just weird because it's like every time I would do the turn, I just kept thinking, I'm just going to keep rolling it. And I'm not going to remember how to finish the turn or, you know, how to bring it back to the level. I don't know. All these things kept going through my head. About the third time I had it up in the air, I got a little more comfortable. But, yeah, I don't know. I had a little bit of an audience there with me, so I think it didn't help me any. So I couldn't really try to do anything, and I didn't want to wreck my plane in front of anybody else. So, but yeah, it was a lot of fun, and I enjoyed being able to go, and I'm ready to go back. Just got a busy schedule coming up next week with Boy Scout summer camp, so that's going to suck. But yeah, I'm ready to get back to the field.
Please remember, when you're in the air, it's just like Italian driving. The only thing that matters is what's in front of you. It don't matter. So when you're flying, it's just you and the airplane, bud. It don't matter what anybody else thinks, says, or does. It's just you and that airplane. Well, I'm at the hacienda. Dave, we'll get in touch in the morning and see if we can work out a flight time. And if it works out, maybe we can go in the afternoon late enough to take Andrew along. And we'll just see how it plays out. So I'm out of here. 73s, KN4, VWA, I'm clear. Oh, and if you run across Daniel again, tell him I said, have a good afternoon. Clear.
All right, Steve. Talk to you tomorrow. I'm going to bug out, too. I ran out of water a long time ago. I got to go downstairs and reload. And congratulations again, Andrew, and hope you get to go flying with us soon. W4DJW, clear.
All right, Steve, Dave, y'all have a good one, 7-3, and definitely hope we get to go flying again soon. KO4 CEF, and I'll be standing by for a little bit longer.
DFW Mobile.
That you, Ken? KO4 CEF.
Ben Lane, you're listening to you guys.
What's wrong with that? You already home?
I'm enjoying the ride and listening to you guys talk about airplanes and spending money.
So far, I haven't done too bad. I haven't bought too many replacement parts, but yeah, it's just like the radio, man. You can spend a ton of money in it if you want to. And it don't take long either. That's the bad part.
In Tennessee, every week he's building a different plane, it seems like.
I'll be honest with you. There's some nice model airplanes I'd love to have. I saw one that was fairly new. It's It was a Corsair electric engine and everything in it. So, you know, you got to have batteries to fly it. And I can already buy into it. And I was eyeballing that one, but I don't think I'm quite ready for anything like that. So I'm going to keep my plane for a while, keep it up in the air, and just get used to flying it and learning and, you know, getting the jitters out. And that way, once I finally do upgrade a different plane, then I'll be a little more capable with
it. Like the World War II planes, the Corsairs and that, and then the, always like the biplanes.
Oh, yeah, I'm with you there. I like that, and I wanted to say I saw a P-51 Mustang. I mean, anything like that I'd love to have. It'd be a fun plane to fly, but, and, you know, some of the more, I guess, advanced or expensive ones even have, like, landing gear that goes up and everything else, so quickly get over my head with stuff like that. I wouldn't even know how to change the switches on it.
Educated really quick.
Yeah, you got that right. Well, Ken, I have just pulled up in the driveway, so I'm going to head on in here and start getting these boys together for Boy Scouts here in a little while. So I might have to say 7-3 to you. Hopefully we'll holler at you in the morning. I should be back in my truck, so definitely have a radio in the morning. But anyway, you have a good one. Have a good evening, and we'll talk to you tomorrow morning. KO4CEF, and I'll be clear on your final.
Evening, and we'll catch you in the morning, hopefully. KN4TFW.